The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Florida Department of Health, Escambia County.
Morning, 10:38. You're listening to News Radio 92.3. I'm Jenna Barr. This is the Pensacola Expert Panel, and we'd love to hear from you. So text on in this morning, 850-437-1620 to the Pensacola Expert Panel. If you do have any questions, I can direct them on over. I want to go ahead and kick it off and welcome Marie Mott with Florida Department of Health, Escambia County. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Love the bumper music this morning.
I do love it because we have sun, and I'm enjoying the sunshine. Right? If you didn't get to the beach this weekend at all, you missed out. We did get actually to the beach, and then that Saturday storm rolled in, Gulf Breeze, Pensacola Beach. Got to see my first water spout, Marie. Ended up being 5 water spouts in just a 30-minute time frame. It was crazy. So I was like, I'm just going to sit here and wait this out. But it was a reminder as I was sitting there with friends, like we were asking, so what are your plans like actually if there is a hurricane? And do you have a place to go? Oh, you just moved. Do you know what your flood, your zone is, right? And so it's kind of appropriate as a segue into what we're going to be discussing for the month of September. And the Florida Department of Health is here to protect you and your overall lifestyle. And it goes from your health to your wallet to your home. And so if you do have a question this morning, please squeeze it in over the next 20 minutes. Marie, take it away.
Okay. And I've got my public health preparedness dream team here with me today, Chris Pickens and Daniel Neeland. And I think Chris is going to be doing some talking. I don't know. Daniel says he's here to listen and learn. He's kind of, you know, in the training phase of what we've got going on. So I'm not going to make him talk, but he can pop in if he feels like it. I'm okay with that. So anyway, yeah, we're going to be talking a little bit about preparedness. That is a perfect segue into our main topic today, because it is, again, Preparedness Month. I know we came in the spring, usually April or May, and talked a little bit about preparedness because we're getting close to the technically official beginning of hurricane season. But we're getting into the peak part of that season, which is one of the reasons we like to revisit the topic. But the other part of that is because we don't need to be just prepared for hurricanes. There's a lot of other things that we need to be prepared for. And so preparedness is a year-round kind of process. So I think I'm going to let Chris kind of take the mic and go through some of the great tips that he's got, and we'll just discuss.
So again, like Marie said, it's National Preparedness Month. It's a observance each September to raise awareness about the importance of preparing for disasters and emergencies. The theme for this year is a lasting legacy. So not only creating a lasting legacy for you and your family, but a focus kind of on teaching the youth. Preparedness can start at any age to start educating your children on, you know, what overall preparedness, not only for your family and how it works, but kind of what issues or incidents might arise in our area. FEMA has a lot of informational tools for especially teaching children, not only from coloring books to kind of overall a step, goal, PowerPoint, and interactive activity that you can get a certificate at the end. So of course, hurricane season is from June 1st to November 30th. But we all know that, you know, we've made it through the summer part, but in our area, the biggest storms that we can all think about in the last 10, 20 years have been Michael that hit Bay County, and that hit in early October. And it went from the early prediction of just a tropical storm, and it moved all the way up to a Category 5 within a 1 to 2 day period, and devastated Bay County as well as kind of our entire panhandle. And it was a good wake-up reminder for our area. So just to think that just because we're out of the summer months doesn't mean that most of our area gets hit in that September to October to also sometimes we've seen storms hit in November. Sally was mid-September, and then if for some of you that were here in 2004, Ivan was in mid-September.
Same date.
Yeah. So just things to think about, but also with hurricanes, which is the big thing we think about, there's all the other small incidents that might affect our region. We are, as everyone has seen, a lot of rain and severe storms within the last few weeks. To kind of tie it into myself personally, this weekend we lost power at my home for about 36 hours. With that, you know, we luckily have, we operate off gas, so we were able to cook and we still had water, but, you know, everybody in our area lost food for hundreds of dollars. If you had just purchased groceries, we know the prices are high. A lot of them didn't have alternative plans. Hotels were running $100, $200 a night, and a lot of them don't accept pets. Luckily, the weather was kind of fair, but, like, you know, midsummer, it could be, you know, we're hitting 99, 100 degrees, and you're sweating in your house. So kind of building those kits for your home, I think the big thing, you know, everybody thinks about is food, water, but also your medications. The nice thing is most pharmacies you can get prescriptions that are not category one, like opiates or anything, for up to 30 days prior to a storm. Documentation, your ID, your birth certificates, home insurance, car insurance, anything that might be essential. Make sure that they are in Ziploc bags that are waterproof. With kind of building preparedness with your family, also ensure that when, like my incident with the storm knocking out my power, that the things we use, non-perishable foods and stuff, get replaced after that when possible. During May, there's also tax-free holiday weekends to purchase kind of materials for your disaster generators. The big thing also to think about when power goes out is when you're operating your gas generators, that those need to be outside your home. The big killer for most people is that they put it in the garage or near the house, and carbon monoxide poisoning. And then kind of following those disasters, a lot of the issues, accidents or deaths kind of follow the storm. There's loose debris, there's trees, there's mosquitoes, there's standing water and storm surge. So just things to think about, that just because the storm has gone through doesn't mean that there aren't additional incidents that could happen. There could be hazardous material that got knocked down. There could be, you know, falling debris. So just think about it. Make sure also first thing that runs out when a storm is incoming is gas, toilet paper, food at the grocery store. So kind of always having those backup non-perishable foods is essential. To just think about prior, you don't want to. And then your pets is a big thing to think about too within your plan. Where are they gonna go? What shelter? If you move to a hotel or have family arrangements, can they take in your pets? And so we provide a lot of materials. You know, the federal website's ready.gov is essential for showing you kind of how to make a kit, what to look at, what small things to think about. And then within our state, we have a Florida Department of Emergency Management website that provides, again, more additional resources for our entire state. And then at a local level, if you look at the Florida Department of Health in Escambia County and search and Google and search preparedness, you'll get kind of an update of the September Preparedness Month, as well as our website of additional information for our program. Within that program is the Special Needs Shelter Registry. For those that don't know, we have the Department of Health staffs the Special Needs Shelter during a storm. Now, we do highly put out the message that this is a shelter of last resort. It is not a five-star hotel. We're there to get you from point A to point B of the storm. We always highly recommend to make sure you have prior plans through either evacuating or looking to go to more of a home that's secure that could go ride out the storm. But that on our website is a link to that registry. You'll sign up, you'll put in your, kind of your name, and then kind of what your ambulance might be. The big thing that we take at the special needs shelter is oxygen dependent people. But kind of look out for that. You'll get information back once you register. But that's kind of the overall things to think about in our area. Of course, there's always hurricanes, but there's flooding, there's severe storms that could knock out your power. We're kind of getting through those summer months, but extreme heat, tornadoes come with some of the storm. Wildfires in March, we had one in Bay County that knocked out a lot of land and had to, nursing home had to be evacuated. Luckily, there's no damage, but kind of things that still can happen. And then, of course, the last 3 years, a pandemic. It can overthrow kind of our entire situation. It wasn't most disasters happen at a local level and might affect most of the state, but that was a federal and kind of worldwide issue. So a lot of our resources, we were kind of put to the brink. So just kind of think about those things, home fires too. Make sure, you know, everything's turned off before you leave. Make sure you shut off your gas before you leave your home. If you evacuate, you know, it's sad to come back and your house is destroyed because of something that, you know, you might have not prior thought about. And then I'll kind of turn it to Marie or Daniel if you have anything to kind of add to. I know that was a lot of information at once, but I'm happy to go kind of more in depth on anything that you guys might think about to add to this discussion.
Yeah, and I would just kind of encourage, as you go through these processes that Chris has suggested in terms of, you know, making a plan and building a kit in particular, when you go to ready.gov, you can print off kind of the checklist of things that they tell you to do. And I'd print a copy and keep that with you for like a week and every day look at it, because the checklist is really generalized. I mean, these kind of guidance is very generalized, but everybody's situation is very different in your individual life. So you might find as you go through the week and looking at this checklist that, you know, there are things that you do or need on a daily basis that might not be contemplated in that kind of guidance. So you might want to add in notes. You know, I need to make sure that someone checks on mom, for example, if that's something that you do on a regular basis that you might be, if you had to evacuate, kind of out of pocket. So those little things that are individual for your family situation are kind of important. Mm-hmm. Another thing that kind of goes along with that is planning on how to manage the situation if everybody is kind of split up, as in a typical work school day where everybody's at work or school or different places and something happens. So how do you communicate or get back together or, you know, reach each other where in a situation where you might not be able to use the usual channels or methods to catch up? So if something happens and you can't reach your kids at school for whatever reason, kind of what plans can you put into place to have alternatives, an alternative pickup person, somebody with an emergency kind of temporary guardianship order or document that you've executed, a meetup place if mm-hmm. if some kind of disaster happens in the community and things are kind of shut down, you know, how are you going to get back with your family or your loved ones? So those are important things to consider as well.
So. And also to kind of add to think about what when we have a storm come through, I think, again, Michael taught a lot that essential services will go down. It's important to add also cash to your kit because, you know, most banks are going to be down. You're not going to be able to get anything out. So if you need cash to kind of pay for gas or get a hotel for the night or kind of just get out of the area, that's essential kind of to your kit. Another thing to think about is... what is the word I'm looking for? I just lost my train of thought, but it's something with like,
Story of my life.
It's okay. So like with Michael, Verizon was completely knocked out of the area. So you might not have cell service. Luckily AT&T was in a nice little spotty area that some people could, but there's a chance that entire cell services is knocked out. So like Marie was saying, how are you going to get mm-hmm. in contact with other family members that might not be spread out? It's kind of good to prior to the storm, if you can just think about, again, to harp always on Michael, the storm changed so rapidly
right.
within a 24-hour period to kind of already let our family members that might not be in the area or neighbors and stuff that might not get the news or not cable, basic cable, to kind of, you know, the storm is changing, where are you going to go? But also that this is our plan as a family. If you can't get in contact with us, just know we've evacuated or we're going to a general, the plan is to go to a general shelter or a special needs shelter or like a hotel outside the area, or can we come to you now and just prep, just so they know, because there is a chance that not only traffic will be backed up 3-4 hours that usually takes an hour, but there might not be any cell service.
Yeah, you have to
be ready for anything. And sometimes with all the progression of technology, which is great, right? Everybody saw, what was it, Apple Day last week, the Apple release, which is all wonderful things, but still you gotta make sure that those walkie-talkies work, the handheld radio, those little things too, that you just keep in a box. It doesn't take up much room in your garage or the back of a closet somewhere, and dust off that little ready kit. And if you don't have a plan, I can text over the plan form from the website ready.gov. If you would like that, just text in 437-1620 and you can personalize it yourself with your household.
So yeah, great. Thank you. And again, another good website resource is at myascamia.com/ know your zone. If you don't know your zone, that is a good starting point for everybody. Is, you know, you can put in your street address and it'll kind of tell you what, you know, what zone you're in terms of county evacuation recommendations. And then that is kind of a good conversation starter as to, you know, what plan do we have if, you know, we're under this type of situation. So so knowing where you start is important. So I think that the tagline they use, know your zone, know your home, know your plan. You know, what are the things that would trigger us wanting to evacuate? What do we need if we're going to shelter in place in our home? And make sure you have those things. And like Chris mentioned, you know, the county does shelters and the special needs shelter for people with special health care needs. You know, kind of see where you fall into that. I personally would recommend having alternate plans before you go. You know, shelter should be like plan C, because it's, I think the tagline I've heard is, it's the lifeboat, not the love boat. It is not a luxury situation by any stretch of the imagination. It is basically a storm rated building kind of situation. So, so I would, you know, if you have family members in Birmingham or Atlanta or Tennessee or, you know, somewhere that you can drive to, make plans with them ahead of time for evacuating if you need to. It's always a good thing.
Yeah, you can also ask your local community church. There's churches within a stone throw away from a lot of homes here in Northwest Florida, and reach out, see if they have plans with their church members for evacuation, or for you know, just in their church family if they have something too. There are churches out there as well that can kind of help you guide if you don't have family nearby to go to.
Yeah. And then another important thing to remember is those members of our family that we take care of that always need our care. And so that might be infants, for example. If you're evacuating or sheltering in place, you need to make sure you have plenty of water, infant supplies, medication if they have medication. If they're not breastfeeding and they're using formula, older adults that we might be caring for that might need medication or adaptive equipment or things like that. And our pets, you know, making sure we have plenty of pet food, pet water. And, you know, having gone through a lot of these exercises personally, because for a few years we had my parents with us aging in place. So we had to kind of figure out, you know, if something happens, Marie has to go to work, number one. So my husband is left with kids, pets, and parents to deal with. And then number two, what does that look like? So when we need to evacuate somebody, then, you know, it was walkers and wheelchairs and, you know, all those kind of things that kind of come with that. So think through all of those things in advance, because I think that will help you make a better plan if you have to actually implement it.
Yeah. Think of the unthinkable and then jot that down in your plan.
But and you know, kind of lumped in older parents and kids and pets all in one. But the pets seem to be the one that gets left out because they're usually on autopilot with, you know, you buy your dog food or your cat food and somebody feeds the animals. But when it comes time to evacuating and packing out, that might be something that is like, oops, we don't have enough cat food to get through the next week kind of thing.
Right.
So those kind of things you want to keep on hand. Medication, like Chris said, you can get a lot of medications pre-issued if there's a storm in the area. When I used to work with, I used to work in home health, and I had all of my clients, because I I'm a dietitian by training, were on tube feedings. That was kind of the reason that they were in my care. So making sure that they had, you know, ample supply of that formula or whatever they were using in their feeding tube to get through a storm situation or a lack of supply situation that could be dependent on various things, not just a storm. But so those are things, conversations to have with your family, conversations to have with your healthcare provider, your home health provider, if you have home health care, if you are on dialysis or have a family member on dialysis, conversations to have with the dialysis provider as well. Those are all kind of umbrella situations that you might want to be thinking about now rather than later. So.
Oh, absolutely. We do have about a minute left, Marie, here on Pep Talk this Monday morning. We are discussing September as Preparedness Month. And so being prepared actually is way more extensive than, you know, you think about it. It's more than just cans of tuna and extra water. And for some, it could be that simple, right? Maybe that's what they can live with for a week. And I know that recently, real quick, I'll say this. Was it our sheriff that changed it? It used to be the first 72 RNU, but now it's kind of shifted into
96. Yeah, it's then same with like hurricane season's moving almost to May, starting in May 15th. So just, you know, prepare longer and then be happy when it's less time, but always prepare more 5 days almost in advance.
Okay. So ready.gov was one. What was the other website?
MyEscambia.com.
Yeah, myescambia.com, search Florida Department of Health in Escambia County and do preparedness.
Okay.
And also just, sorry to harp on just Michael for most people. I know when we think about hurricanes, we think about the coastal cities, but that storm went almost 50 to 100 miles inland. So just because you live in a rural area and you feel like, well, I'd like, you know, Sally didn't touch us, it doesn't mean that it won't. And that was a lot of tree damage and, you know, it went almost...
So it doesn't matter where you live. Be prepared. Again, you can catch this podcast later on at newsradio923.com. Good to see you, Maria. I'll see you next month.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
You're listening to News Radio 923, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.